Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, that's a relief. Woo! At least I don't have to tee off on the NFL today. I am pleasantly surprised that the arbitrator ruled quickly, and according to reports, he was kind and sympathetic to Antonio Brown with his helmet concerns, but was also firm in stating that he has to have a helmet that is A, not 10 years old, and B, is allowed under safety regulations to be used in the NFL. But Brown loses his grievance against the league and has indicated that he will return to training camp soon. I don't know what that means. Soon is relative. For instance, when I say soon, I usually am talking about a few minutes. Let's say I'm waiting for a train. The train will be here soon. I'm referring to, you know, a handful of minutes. In Cuba, when we say the bus will be here soon, it could easily be 2 hours, and that would be pretty standard. So time and soon are relative, depending upon your perspective, depending upon your location, depending upon what's up in your noggin, which Antonio Brown now has his protected by a regulation helmet, we think. So I don't know what that means. He did post on Instagram that he's working on getting back to full health and looking forward to rejoining his teammates on the field. Also, my favorite part, I'm excited about this season. Appreciate all the concerns about my feet. Uh-huh. You know what? I can identify with Antonio Brown because sometimes when I walk into the CBS Sports Radio studio, it is a little bit like a cryotherapy chamber. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our second show of the work week. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I actually went back and watched the full episode of Hard Knocks. So Ep 1, the season opener. And I took notes. It was so entertaining, the bulk of the episode, that I took notes about all the things I liked about it. And yes, there was plenty of Antonio Brown. Only the start of his frustration with not being able to go full tilt in practice. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why the training staff kept holding him out, because he refused to dial it back. He refused to throttle down, was the way they put it. And so they couldn't allow him on the field because he would go and do more damage to his feet. So I took notes about Hard Knocks episode 1, and I'm going to share those observations with you. I'm looking forward to episode 2 because it features the joint practices between Gruden's Raiders and Sean McVay's Rams. I think this is my new favorite TV show. I haven't always enjoyed it, actually, but I like this one a lot so far. And I am very intrigued to know how much of the Antonio Brown helmet controversy is addressed, because they talk about a lot of stuff. Even with the cameras all around, you get the sense that while there are certainly some players who play up to the cameras, the coaches are going about their business. And I wouldn't be surprised if they forgot the cameras were even in the room. Can I just say this too? I would much rather listen to John Gruden, the NFL head coach, than John Gruden, the broadcaster. He is salty. How many times I laughed or just like sat straight up in my chair like, what did he say? Ugh. John Gruden, the NFL head coach, especially when he's uncensored, which is one of the things about HBO that you can appreciate. Oh, it's good stuff. Really interesting. So I enjoyed it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so Antonio Brown loses his grievance, says he's working on joining the team, that he will be headed back to Napa soon. He's not been with the Raiders since July 30th. That was one story that I woke up to. In fact, it was just breaking all over social media when I woke up. The other story, I got text messages about it. I'm sure you did too if you have any football fans in your family. But generally, I hear from a couple members of my family when there's some kind of off the beaten path story that raises eyebrows. And definitely the reports of Dak Prescott's asking price raised eyebrows. On Monday afternoon, there was a report. I think Jane Slater is the tweet that I saw. She's a member of NFL Media, meaning NFL.com and other NFL produced shows. So her tweet was to confirm that Dak's camp had turned down $30 million a year in average annual salary. And in addition to that, that Dak Prescott's camp was asking for $40 million in annual salary. What? As you can imagine, the emotional reaction to that, hysterical. Seriously, some people laughed over it. Other people scoffed at Dak. Still others, of course, weighed in on his worth. And then there was Dez Bryant, who said, pay the man, don't at me. Of course he did. All right, so here's the initial tweet from Jane Slater. I can confirm reports that QB Dak Prescott has, in fact, turned down $30 million a year and is instead seeking $40 million a year, per source informed.
That escalated quickly.
Hashtag Cowboys. So, right, Jane Slater works for NFL Network, NFL.com, so a member of NFL Media. She goes on to tweet a little bit later, in fact, quotes her own tweet about Dak Prescott. This is negotiating and business here. Number, if it gets done, would likely be closer to $34, $35 million. But as I reported earlier this summer, don't expect a hometown discount. So, here's the deal. The $30 million a year, turning that down, that is not hard for me to believe. But the $40 million a year, that one's been refuted. It's also been contradicted by other reports. So it just depends on who her source is. Pro Football Talk and others are saying that's not close to being the case. I saw some reports that indicate it wasn't about average annual salary. The $40 million instead would mean his average annual salary plus whatever he gets in bonuses and guaranteed money. I read another report that indicated that was the sticking point with the Cowboys, that it's about the guaranteed dollars. And so take everything with a grain of salt. Sometimes this stuff is planted in the media. Even reporters, even insiders get used. A lot of times you'll get a report planted by an agent or a player's camp putting it out there so that the team thinks it's getting a deal type of a thing. Or to the opposite can be true. The team can leak a piece of information to try to get public opinion on its side, or to potentially generate competition or a bidding war. Now, in this case, that's not happening. Dak still has a year left on his contract, and the Cowboys have indicated, Jerry Jones has indicated, he is the quarterback that they want for the future. So just take everything that you hear and read with a grain of salt when it comes to this. Honestly, if that kind of number is being leaked, it's fishy and suspicious to me anyway. Here's the context, just so you know. Russell Wilson right now is making $35 million a year. That is the most for any quarterback, any NFL player in history. And so his is the most recent contract, well, other than Tom Brady's. But that's not Brady's priority. Though he did get a nice raise this season. But for those quarterbacks who are on the assembly line, so to speak, and whose contracts are next up, well, then it's going to continue. The number's going to continue to go up. It's going to continue to rise until there's a market correction, until teams can no longer afford to pay that kind of money and still field a competitive roster. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you're Jerry Jones, do you make Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback in NFL history? Here's some of the other reports that I'd heard, and these go back a couple months, but I don't know why they wouldn't be accurate, or you can't use them to piece together the picture. Back in June, Dak's agent brought up the idea of $34 million per year. So that was the number that was floating around that Dak's camp was asking for. Average annual salary, not the highest in the league, or wouldn't be now, not the highest in the league. Can you do me a favor and give me the date that Russell Wilson signed that new contract, please? But it would be the highest paid player in Cowboys history. And again, that's a report that I've heard. The Cowboys are not planning on making him the highest paid player in the NFL. But they will likely make him the highest paid player in franchise history. July 31st was when Russell Wilson... July 31st? Like a couple weeks ago? I feel like it happened before I went to Cuba. Okay, Chris is doing the research. He's doing it again. So with Dak Prescott, I could see $33, $34 million. I could also see why his side, his agent and his camp, would turn down $30 million a year. I mean, it's a lot of money to you and me, for sure. Well, maybe it isn't to you. It's a lot of money to me. But at the same time, it doesn't make him anywhere close to the highest paid. And I could be reading this situation wrong, but it does seem like all signs point to this, that Dak Prescott is not a guy who needs to be the highest paid player in NFL history, even though, again, if you believe the report about him, well, his side wanting $40 million a year, I guess that's your prerogative. And so again, it's Russell Wilson with the $35 million a year, a contract he signed in April. And then after that, Dak's agent brought up $34 million a year as the goal, the target, the desire for Dak Prescott. So we'll see how quickly this moves. I have no idea which side is leaking. I have no idea which side decided it was a good idea to put that out there. But honestly, it sounds like a lot of posturing to me. Doesn't sound like, first of all, it doesn't matter. But also, it sounds like it's a little fishy. As much as I'm sure that Jane Slater did her due diligence, it's not a knock on her. We've all got sources. We've all got people who feed us information. And if the information's incorrect, or if we're fed information incorrectly on purpose, it wouldn't be the first time, probably not the first time for her. as someone who relies on sources for her stories and for her angles. And so, again, I have any trouble believing that he turned down the $30 million per year. But in terms of $40 million per year, whether it's average annual value, whether it's including the guaranteed money, whether it's total package, there's no way. Why would the Cowboys give him that? Even if that's what Dak's camp was asking, and I don't believe it, why would the Cowboys give him that? A, they don't need to. Because why would you all of a sudden jump from highest paid quarterback at $35 million to a $40 million a year QB? Now, Dak is 32-16 as a starter. He's got a passer rating that's just a tick below 100. I think it's like 96. And they want the consistency. And they believe with Ezekiel Elliott, who is also a priority, with that offensive line, with some receivers now, Amari Cooper, who also needs to be re-signed, that they have a good core in place. But it's ludicrous to make a quarterback the $40 million a year man when you don't have to. There's no precedent for that. There's no one else who's close to that now. The Cowboys would only do that if they really, 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 out of the goodness of their hearts, wanted to make Dak happy. It's business. You don't stay in business by making those kind of decisions. Especially not, and here's the other piece that I think is most important, why would the Cowboys go out of their way to sign Dak Prescott to a giant contract that they don't need to, meaning, again, the $40 million per year, when they still have to sign Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott? So it makes no sense whatsoever that Dak's camp would ask for $40 million and expect $40 million. Because it's not happening. Dak knows it, and the Cowboys know it. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Honestly, if you're Dak Prescott, too, don't you want some of that money to go to Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott so that you're not alone on your island? You don't want those guys to go play somewhere else. You want them to stay with the Cowboys. Whether hometown discount or not, it's about understanding there's only so much money to go around. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. And also Twitter and Facebook. Always good to hear from you during our shows. Straight ahead, kind of funny. Looks to be your choice for Man Crush Monday. And he added on, he piled on with a Monday walk-off. Thanks for tuning in to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Nothing's gonna ever keep you down like this. Oh, no. Nothing's gonna ever keep you
down. Tuesday scores. Winner, winner, chicken and waffle dinner.
A swing and a drive. Away back. Goal!
That's nasty, stinky. Boom, baby!
His jaw-dropping heroics made us swoon this weekend. It's time for Man Crush Monday on After Hours.
The pitch. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left center. This ball, gone, a grand slam! Carlos Santana with a grand slam to left center. And the Indians are back on top 7-3 here in the 10th inning.
Carlos Santana with the massive blast on Sunday. And we put him into our Man Crush Monday poll. And he won by more than a small margin. Half the vote, at least. The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a closer look at this one who got it done. And this week it is Carlos Santana, who continues to bash the ball. Now, you remember, it was a blown save by Brad Hand of the Cleveland Indians in that series finale against the Minnesota Twins that sent the game into extra innings. And that is, of course, where Carlos Santana came in with a huge grand slam that picked up his closer. Well, Baseball continues on, and the Indians had work to do. They were tied with the Twins atop the AL Central to start the new work week. And then they take on the Boston Red Sox Monday. Now, the Red Sox are still fighting for playoff position as well, and Carlos Santana had still more left in the tank. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Xander Bogaerts, RBI double in the top of the ninth inning in Cleveland. That tied the game. So Sox, Indians, knotted at five going into the bottom of the ninth. And maybe you thought this one was heading to extras as well.
Swung and drilled deep left center field. This ball is off the wall or gone. It is gone. He's done it. Career home run number 200. A walk-off game winner for San.
I mean, he has come up so big for us. He's been so consistent. You know, right when you get punched in the stomach, he takes a swing like that. I mean, that was a gorgeous swing. I mean, he just, I mean, and it's, I know the last 2 days, but I mean, he's been doing it all year.
I do like the walk-up music for Terry Francona. Carlos Santana leads off the ninth inning with that home run that you hear from Tom Hamilton on the Indians radio network. And updating the numbers on the Windians, I put this on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you would like to favorite it, if you, in fact, are an Indians fan. It's pretty amazing what they've done. Going back to June 4th, they started this incredible run. Now 43-17. Since June 4th, just over 9 weeks ago, best record in the majors in that span. And as for Santana, Francona references Sunday and Monday. That's what made him Man Crush Monday. 26th home run of the season, 200th of his career. So a really cool milestone for him. And then 71 runs batted in this season. The Indians now have a half game lead atop the AL Central, the Twins idol on Monday. They still have 6 games left to play against one another. So if this race remains tight, it'll be fun to see them duke it out on the field. The Twins have held the lead in this division since late April. And here are the Indians who climbed out of a humongous hole. It was 11 and a half games back. In that same first week of June before they started this run, now 43-17 since June 4th. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to some of the other headlines in Major League Baseball, but please, for the love of everything holy, can we stop playing Yankees-Orioles games? For heaven's sakes, it's enough. I feel bad for the Orioles, and that doesn't happen very often in professional sports. Stop the fight! Now 14 straight wins by the Yankees over the Orioles. And to update the home run numbers, this is like a whole separate category of nerd alert. 59 home runs by the Yankees against the Orioles just this season. 59 of them. I dare say that's more home runs than entire franchises have all season long. Though I'd have to check those numbers. It was so bad for the Orioles that in the eighth inning, after giving up 2 home runs to Gleyber Torres in the second half of their doubleheader on Monday, with runners at first and second, they walked him. Intentionally walked the bases loaded with runners at first and second because they didn't want to pitch to Torres. That's how bad it got. Unconventional to be sure, but they were darn sure not giving up another 3-run home run to Torres. Ooh. Those are not just first world problems. Those are Orioles problems. And if you're an Orioles fan, it makes you sick to your stomach. All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll get to the other baseball storylines, but I'd love to hear from you about the Dak Prescott contract. Again, the highest paid quarterback right now is Russell Wilson. But it's been a few months since we've had a QB deal. $35 million in average annual salary. Where should Dak Prescott fall in line?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, I want something just like.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It went over the visitors' bullpen and about five rows up in the bleachers. Wow! I never dreamt that he had that power. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. He's done it again. Another three-run home run for Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Day, he is the Gleyber of the month. He hits a three-run blast.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It certainly has been a field day. Gleyber Torres, party of one. That's really all the Yankees need, except they've gotten plenty of other contributions. 59 home runs against the Orioles alone this season. That's incredible. It's like they're hitting the ball off a tee. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A doubleheader was more than enough on Monday, and the Yankees continue their pace. They had won 10 of 12, so now it would be 12 of 14. And even though the Rays are also playing well, they've got four consecutive wins. They've won eight of their last 10. Right now, they are nine games back in the AL East. And so it's not quite the same situation as the Los Angeles Dodgers, though you remember I asked our Dodgers insider on last night's show, how can the Dodgers just click or snap into playoff mode when they're not facing any adversity other than maybe a blip in the bullpen here and there? They're not getting pushed at all. The only real race they're in would be for best overall record. And then, of course, that would matter if they get to the World Series. Right now, by the way, they have the same exact record as the Yankees. So the Houston Astros had a game that was postponed by weather on Monday. They're two wins behind the pace set by the Yankees, but they have the same number of losses. Astros are in a similar boat, a 10-game lead in the AL West. Not insurmountable, but definitely not too close for comfort. They've got to get that kind of motivation from within themselves for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Producer Chris just put up a poll on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS here. I'll retweet. But it's about Dak Prescott, so check that out. Parker is listening in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Parker, welcome to After Hours.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a huge Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just having an issue with the way these guys are going about their contracts. Like, I think Dak is asking for way too much. He's a great quarterback. He's not a top six quarterback in the league.
So just to cut in, does that mean you believe the report that he's asking for $40 million a year? Because I don't.
I that's what I keep reading, so I'm believing that.
Well, there are conflicting reports.
I don't think he's the type of guy to think that.
Okay, well, so there are conflicting reports. I would say the part about him turning down the $30 million a year, that's accurate. That's been reported by multiple sources. But the turning down the $40 million, or the asking for $40 million a year, however you slice it, I've seen just as many reports that is not accurate. So I would say take that with a grain of salt.
For him to ask that.
Right.
You know, especially when he knows that Zeke needs a contract.
And Cooper
and
needs a contract.
So does Cooper. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to keep, if he's a quarterback and wants to keep that team together, look, I hate, I'm not, look, I can't say I hate. I'm not a big Patriots fan. But then you look at Tom Brady, that dude takes less money to make mm-hmm. the team better so they can build around him. So I don't know. I as a Cowboy fan, I thought Dak was more realistic in his sense of, we need to build a team around me, and I'm not the most important part. Like, let's get some guys here. I think Zeke needs to get paid, mm-hmm. but Zeke's also asking for money. He got offered Gurley money. That's what you're. That's you're. You still got 2 years left on your contract,
right?
You know, take the money, and then work something out after that. Maybe take a shorter contract. Don't take a 10-year deal. Take a 3 or 4 year deal. Prove that you're a once in a generation guy. And then sell out. Then take that big cut. You know Jerry's going to pay. He's got the money. I don't know.
Well, but there's a salary cap.
I mean, confused.
There's a salary cap, though. It doesn't matter how much money Jerry Jones is worth or how much he would like to pay these guys. It has to work out on the salary cap. And so if you're a longtime Cowboys fan, then you know, Parker, you remember the whole Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray conflict and the fact that they couldn't pay both. They had to figure out a way to only pay one. And so what do? They allow DeMarco Murray to leave. And I would say you're accurate. You're correct in your assessment of Dak Prescott, even though we don't know him personally. I would agree with you. He's a realistic guy. He's not a guy who expects the Cowboys to break the bank on him at the expense of two other guys that he desperately needs on his offense. They cannot win without Ezekiel Elliott. They cannot win without a star receiver, whether it's Amari Cooper or someone else. And so right now, what I've heard is that the Cowboys have made offers to all three that would put them around the top five at their respective positions. Not necessarily the highest paid at that position, but within the range of top five. And again, I don't believe the report that he's asking for $40 million a year, because there's no way the Cowboys can afford that. They can't afford that, and they're not paying that. So that's completely ridiculous.
So I agree with you. I here I am again, baffled as a Cowboy fan as to why these guys are playing this the way they are. Jerry wants these guys. So they've got that leeway,
right?
Jerry wants to keep them.
They have leverage, for sure.
He's going to try to give them everything they want.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they going to, penny pinch? And I'm just very confused.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Again, just take everything with a grain of salt. Sometimes this stuff is thrown out there. It's leaked by whatever side, whichever side. It doesn't make any sense. So if it logically makes no sense, then I would say don't put a whole lot of stock into it. But I would agree with you about Zeke. I mean, Dak's in camp. Cooper's in camp. They're playing. They're trying to get ready for the season. But I would say with Ezekiel Elliott, the fact that he's got 2 years left on his deal, we're not talking about him going into a season that's a contract year. There's 2 years left on that deal. And yes, the leverage is high for running backs, but I mean, the fact that the Cowboys offered him Todd Gurley money and then Le'Veon Bell got less, I mean, that's what Jerry, or maybe it's Stephen Jones, has said, that the new market for running backs was set by the Le'Veon Bell contract. They're not even looking at the Todd Gurley deal anymore.
Yep. I went from so optimistic going into the season, and then 2 weeks ago, just, I feel like we're done.
Wait, why?
I just devastated.
Because Zeke is threatening to hold out. So was Antonio Brown. So did Aaron Donald. I mean, I think these guys want to play football. Now, if he pulls a Le'Veon Bell, come on. Do you really? I mean, even if it's not great for the team, because they win more with him. Is that really the kind of guy you want on your team? A guy that would just completely skip out on his season, even though he's under contract, and leave his teammates high and dry? That's not the kind of guy I would want on my team, but I guess that's just me.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact, too. I get that. It's scary, I guess, knowing we had something guaranteed almost.
Almost?
Now.
Almost. Nothing guaranteed in sports, Parker. You know better than that.
That's what I love about you. You're so real. So you're...
Well, I know when it comes to sports fans, we're not always logical, and we sometimes are completely irrational. So I'll try to be the voice of reason. You call and talk about the Cowboys anytime, Parker. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Have a good night.
You too. Scott is in Baltimore. Scott, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to add a comment about how the last caller was talking about Prescott, Brady. They're not on the same page. Brady has already gotten multiple contracts, so he can level back a little bit, so he gets less money. But this is Prescott's, you know, first big contract, so the man's going to want to get as much as he can. I don't disagree.
Disagree with what?
Him trying to get a bunch of money.
Well, of course. No, I mean, but within reason, the team's not paying him $40 million a year. That doesn't even make any sense. Because Russell Wilson's at 35. Why would a team all of a sudden jump up to 40 just because? I mean, there's no need to do that. Even if your agent comes to, even if the agent comes to you and says, we want him to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, which I feel like the Cowboys probably have evidence for why they wouldn't make him the highest paid QB in the league. But regardless, even if the agent comes to you and says, Russell Wilson set the standard, we want to go higher, the Cowboys still aren't paying him 40. That's an extra $5 million per year. That's not even smart. It's not good business.
I totally agree with you. But I'm sure he wants to get a decent chunk of money, but he's definitely not worth 40. I don't even think he's worth 30, but, he's going to get a little bit of money. So, but thank you very much.
Yeah, no, he is, Scott. I appreciate your call in Baltimore. And you're right. With the Tom Brady situation, he's gotten paid many times. And people always point to the fact that his wife has money. But still, it doesn't take away from his perspective, which is he would rather the team spend money on players to put around him so that they are a better Super Bowl contender than him have the title of being highest paid ever. He's never been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And LeBron James went through stretches where he was like that as well. He had never been the highest paid player on his team until recently. And so I feel like, yeah, it helps if you've been paid before, but it also helps if you have a championship mentality and you recognize the only way in the NFL specifically for a team to win is to be able to have depth, to be able to pay guys at multiple positions. And so Brady's getting money. He got a raise. He keeps renegotiating and restructuring contracts, and the team will throw him a bone here or there, but clearly that's not his priority. And I think in the case of Dak Prescott, yes, it'll be his first massive deal, but he seems to be a smart QB. He seems to be one who understands how this works. And to know that Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott are so critical to the Cowboys' success on offense, to recognize what happens to that offense when they do not have either one. I mean, in the case of Cooper, think about the trade for him last year and how the offense really locked into a groove when they had a number one wide out for Dak to throw to. He's not blind. And so, again, even if he wanted to be the highest paid player in the NFL, the fact is the Cowboys are not jumping to $40 million a year. That's bidding against themselves. There's no need for that. Number two, they have other contracts they have to pay attention to. And a couple of previous reports that Dak's agent had broached the idea of $34 million, so he wouldn't be the highest paid quarterback, but he would be in the top five, which is what the Cowboys had kind of indicated they were about. He would be right in there with Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan, by the way, is fifth at $30 million a year among QBs. But the other piece of that is also that the reports have, you know, the kind of indicated that the Cowboys are willing to make him the highest paid player in franchise history, but the highest paid player in league history is not even part of the conversation. So take all of those reports with a grain of salt. I don't believe the $40 million. I think it's a smokescreen, if anything. I appreciate all of your calls, your tweets. A-Law Radio, Hour 1 in the books. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.